throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Thunder win again, Jared. Feels like every time we walk in here, we talk about the Thunder winning another game. Last night, 129-120 over the Knicks. J-Dub this time with a career high. What was he, like 11 of 14, 5 of 5 from 3?
I didn't.
14 of 17 is crazy. I
just saw
up
the stat of him and SGA combined for like 70.
Yeah, 36 and 34.
That's pretty impressive.
Here is a question. Is there a chance the Thunder could get 3 All-Stars?
I'm at this pace, why not?
SGA, Chet, and Dub?
The whole argument is small market, you're not going to pull the votes. But deservingly, sure.
Maybe.
I would say this is the year SGA is a starter, right?
I think so.
100% on that one.
Yeah, and probably a better chance of Chet than J-Dub just because of Chet's notoriety. But that's something we'll discuss later.
Man, that's a fun conversation to have, right?
Here's another one. While we're at it, while we're loving Chet and J-Dub, where do they rank? Because you realize they were drafted the same night.
That's right.
In the same draft.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that go down? If you end up with 2 All-Stars out of the same draft, how many times does that happen? I've been trying to find it, and it's really hard to find. Because when you type in duos, it goes to like, it doesn't go to the draft. It just, you know, goes to playing.
Right.
Is it even the best one in Thunder history? There's a caveat there, though.
Yeah.
There's a caveat. It is in Thunder history. Maybe not in supersonic history.
Ah. Well, they kept those records, right?
We'll talk about that. You're right. It's a fun conversation to have because it's all awesome.
It's all about positive things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
College football. OSU took care of A&M. I think anybody with a functioning brain could see that coming with what OSU brought back and what A&M has lost and kind of the chaos that's going down in College Station as they try to transition to Mike Elko and the way that the players they've lost off that roster. I actually thought A&M played pretty decent considering all that they had lost, and the first play, the quarterback breaks his arm in half, and he's off with the air cast. But Oklahoma State wins, as they should have, by a score of 31-23. Do we appreciate what Mike Gundy has done at Oklahoma State? If we don't, is it his fault that we don't appreciate him as much as we should? I've got a bunch of stats about Mike Gundy's time that are incredible. And yet, doesn't it feel like he's 1-5-7 season from the OSU fans wanting him gone? I mean, I'm not so sure there wasn't call for him to be fired just this year.
Oh,
after the 2-2 start.
Yeah, oh, there was. There was, but that's kind of the nature of the beast, being the head coach of a football program. And the moment the road gets rocky, fans are screaming for heads, right?
Yeah. And
but I know what you're saying.
Here's the deal. I think he has created that monster for himself at Oklahoma State.
That comes with success. Absolutely it does.
So
yes.
I wonder if people realize what he has done. I'm going to try to kind of paint that narrative.
It's hard to appreciate a man with a perm, though.
You got to appreciate him. What was up with those eyes, dog?
What was going on? I don't know.
At first, when I first saw it, I thought, well, they took that picture right after Gunner scored. But by the way, how cool was that?
That was pretty cool.
It was unbelievable.
I didn't realize he was in the game until he goes in the end zone. Wait a minute. Did he sneak in there?
Well, that's what it took off, and it was like, the hell happened to Bowman?
Yeah.
Why is he running so fast? Oh, it's Gunner. Touchdown. The Mike Gundy thing is interesting. Is Scott right? I hate to say this. Is Scotty G right?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the beat writer.
No, Scott Wright. No, is Scotty G. Yeah, I should have put that in there. Is Scotty G right about Caleb Williams?
I vaguely remember what his opinion was.
Bust.
As being a bust? Maybe a system quarterback?
Just a bust.
Whew.
I think if he was just a system quarterback, he'd have looked a lot more like Miller Moss did last night.
That's a great point, too, yeah.
Man, that dude.
It wasn't like they went up against an A&M. No offense, OSU, but they went up. Louisville had some motivation there.
Should have. Man, he looked good. Does it scare off Will Howard? He hasn't officially announced he's going there, has he?
No, there's been a lot of rumors.
Lincoln actually mentioned that last night. I wonder if, you know, he didn't name him the starting quarterback for next year, but he did mention, like, you know, you see that. Do people want to come compete against him?
Did he recruit this kid, or was he there when he got there?
He was there.
Uh-huh.
He was there. But he was a big-time
recruit. I mean.
He looked pretty good. What's a good night tonight for Jackson Arnold? Ponder that in his first start for Oklahoma. High School Hoops Tournament of Champions got underway yesterday at the BOK Center in Tulsa. Got the first round results for girls and boys. What's going on today there? Also, the Merritt Oilerettes on the road. You said you passed them.
I did.
Confirmation that they're headed east for an 8 o'clock tip at the Bertha Frank Teague Classic, Mid-America Classic. Let's get the whole name right. In Ada.
At the Kerr
Activities Center.
The Kerr Dome.
I'm just going to tell you right now, if anybody on the Merritt bus is listening, it's what, about a three-hour drive to Ada?
Yeah.
On a bus, I'm sure you just blaze it down I-40 to exit 200. You can go north to Prague. You can go south to Ada. I'm pulling off the interstate south to Ada and immediately making an easterly jog into the parking lot. And the timing will be about right. They left at 8.
Beat the lunch rush.
Stop at the Catfish Roundup. It's right there at the exit. Anybody going?
Today's show brought to you by the Catfish Roundup.
You're welcome. I'm just telling you, you're welcome. It's no Simon's Catch, but it's close. It's a good spot
to
stop.
That's the problem, though. If this is Merritt we're talking about,
they're going to immediately compare
it to Simon's Catch and go, I mean, it's no Simon's Catch. It's good, but it's no Simon's Catch.
It used to have an albino catfish swimming in the tank as you walked in.
Did it have a name?
Probably.
Like Chuck or something?
I don't know. Anyhow, it's just eating tips. I think the place we ate when we went to Ada a couple years ago is no longer there.
I know.
I was looking in case we were going to go to Ada, I was looking at eating places and trying to remember what that was called, and I don't think it's there anymore.
Tried to support a local joint. Unfortunately, it's gone away. Yeah, Catfish Roundup. And they'll have plenty of time because they play at 8 o'clock tonight.
That's right.
So they'll have plenty of time.
8 o'clock tonight, Paragon TV, Oilerettes, and the Bing Lady Pirates. So, we'll hit some high school hoops. We'll talk college football, maybe some Thunder at the end of the show. 225-9698. Now, here you go, Dylan. And an aunt that worked there.
Small world.
Absolutely. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. If you've got restaurant recommendations for our friends from Merritt, send them in Ada or anywhere along the way. 225-9698.
Tell us where your aunt worked.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know, if we hit a nerve, it'll work just fine. If you're going to be outside of the listening area, say if you're on the Merritt bus, for instance, you can log on kadsam.com, or you can download the app. It's free to download. It's got all the radio stations. The Penny News, a brand new edition of the Penny News, is out right now. Go pick up a free copy of the Penny News. Big Elk and Paragon TV, as I mentioned, Paragon TV back on the air the next 3 days with Merritt.
You know what else is on today?
What's on?
I just got wind of this. Last night, over at Hammond, they're having what's called a super scrimmage.
Oh.
And it looks like our guys are going to put it on Paragon.
Okay, there you go.
I've got to find out who's over there. There's some good teams over there.
So you got that as well?
I don't know how they're going to do it. They're doing it in both gyms.
You know, I can tell you what you do. You make people mad. You can only be in one place at one time. And
yeah,
hope you choose wisely.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Just put it in the Warrior Dome and move on.
Why isn't it not? Okay. No, they're going to just stick with like two scrimmages.
Okay.
Dover. At 3.
Number 1 Dover.
Lady Warriors are scrimmaging Dover at 3, followed by Turner at 5:15. They're ranked 16th, by the way.
There
Pretty
you go.
Good little scrimmage right there. That's
very cool. Almost, so you can take that in as well. And of course, Skinny on Sport on Sports Podcast. If you miss one of our shows entirely, you can check us out everywhere where podcasts drop. We're there as well. How are you today, Jared?
Good.
Only one more show in 2023.
I know. I actually stayed up and watched all that football, and I feel fine. I guess I was preparing for tonight, too.
Yeah, tonight. Back-to-back 8 o'clocks. 8:15, I guess, for OU, but still back-to-back late-night kickoffs here in the Sooner State. All right, the basketball yesterday, high school hoops. Tournament of Champions got underway in Tulsa. And, man, I think the one maybe notable surprise slash, or at least for folks out here, I know I even heard Mark talking about the Tournament of Champions yesterday, and he thought that he had the final being Owosso and Weatherford. One of those teams could be there, but not the Eagles, as Crossings Christian gets revenge from last season's semifinal defeat at the hands of the Weatherford Eagles, as Crossings beats Weatherford 57-42. They got off to a hot start. Weatherford got back within three, you said, in the second half.
Yeah.
I was kind of in and out of it watching that they got within three, and then Crossings just kind of held them at bay from there, and Weatherford falls 57-42. The first game of the day was almost a gigantic upset, at least if you look at enrollments of schools, as it was Edmund North hanging on to beat OK. OK, of course, powered by the Diesel.
They're OK.
Diesel what? Davis.
Yeah. They're ranked one, right?
Yeah, they're one. Yeah. Caddo's two. Caddo plays Carl Albert in the holiday, the Mustang tournament today.
Right, okay.
But Edmund North wins 58-53. Crossings beat Weatherford 57-42. Dale, I mean, tonight's game is a pretty anticipated one. Dale and Owosso. So Dale obviously has Dayton Forsyth going to Oklahoma. We've seen what he did in that national tournament back over Thanksgiving time. You know who Owosso has?
Who?
You remember the name Brian Montanati?
No.
From OSU Cowboy lore back in the day?
Maybe, yeah.
His son.
Oh, okay.
His son, I think, is a sophomore or junior at Owosso. He's like a top 30 player in his class nationally.
Assuming he's going to go to Stillwater?
It's probably the plan, but I don't know if that it's set in stone.
So now we know who to root for if you're OU or an OSU fan.
There you go. It's not only it's Bedlam and it's Owosso versus Dale. So that'd be a pretty interesting one tonight at the Tournament of Champions. Weatherford OK at 10:30 today. So they're the second game of the day.
Oh, darn.
10:30, Weatherford versus OK in the consolation bracket of that Tournament of Champions. Crossings, obviously, bumped up to 5A, so they're not really ranked. They're undefeated. I was a little bit saddened because I wanted to see Weatherford play Edmund North or play Dale or play Owosso, you know, see those matchups. And now when you look, you're like, okay. Okay. Then either Tulsa Hale or Metro Christian is like, oh, man.
Those don't
get they don't you, get you fired up. Man. Yeah. That's maybe an Edmund North, but that's just the way it went. So the Eagles now, I think, have a really nice, a pretty good chance to win that consolation bracket.
Did you see, well, we're talking about 4A boys basketball, did you see the transfer that Douglas got?
Who was it?
He is committed, the name escapes me, but he was committed to OU. He is committed to OU for football. And he's also highly ranked in basketball He's going to Douglas to play basketball. That might change the whole landscape of things for 4A boys basketball. Yeah, you're gonna have to. Nickens, is that it?
Oh, Jaden Nickens?
Yes. Thank
from
you.
Millwood?
Thank you, Jeremy, from the text line. Yes. Yeah, I saw that tweeted out over there.
Holy Moses.
Yeah.
So yeah, here it is.
He'll be suiting up for the Trojans. Oh, you can miss. Oh, yeah, that's the kid who hit the three at the buzzer. He said, give it to me. I'll hit it. And he did it. Is that not him?
No, not him. That was a different kid. But he's the one that... he's the one that returned the kickoff
in the semifinals
for a touchdown.
Yeah, he is now a Douglas Trojan. Apparently from the Twitter sphere.
Oh, I'm looking at a story in the Oklahoma.
Oh, it's in there. So it's official. Yeah. It's official.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
So what does that do with Douglas basketball? You know, they're defending champs. Are they suddenly... It's going to be real interesting to see when the next rankings come out what happens there, if that changes opinions.
I'm shocked.
Crazy,
like,
huh?
Holy cow, what?
He's a heck of an athlete. But imagine this. I mean, he played – he went and won a title at Millwood in football. Did they not win?
No. Washington.
Was that the semifinal game that they brought
semifinals.
That? My apologies.
Yeah.
I always forget they're a week behind.
Yeah, Washington won again.
Well, still played for one. And now going to Douglas, and we know what they can do in basketball. It doesn't matter. He's from the Texan Douglas. They're terrible at football. What? He didn't play football there. We waited till the end of football season and then transferred.
That's wild. I did not. When is this story written? It's right before Christmas.
Yeah.
That's why I missed it. It was that Saturday of Christmas when this story was posted.
Yeah.
Or last Saturday. Wow. Yeah, that...
So that changes a lot. I mean, that makes everybody go, huh, what about Douglas to repeat now? That they got
well,
some,
they were obviously
here.
They were
a contender. And
no doubt.
I don't know if a favorite because of what everybody Weatherford brought back.
They brought back a bunch, too.
But they did bring back a bunch, too, and that's going to be interesting. Let's start the playoffs already.
Man.
Let's get there. We got another couple months until the state. Very interesting.
I was just reading this story.
Did he give a reason why? Did they interview him? Did he say why he made the switch?
I don't see it.
I mean, his future's set. I mean, he's committed to OU. That doesn't change anything.
He had to play football.
But they also believe it said he is considered a pretty good recruit in basketball, too. Ranked in the state anyways.
Yeah. I wonder, here's what I wonder. This is crazy. Because he can't just... It's if he's a mid-season enrollee, mid-year enrollee next year, is this the last time he's going to play basketball? Or is he good enough? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that baffles my mind. Is it just going to go to Millwood and play football again next year? I mean, because those schools are very close.
Yeah,
it's not like he's moving across town.
No.
Huh. Yeah, I've got a lot of questions about this one. I can't wait to see what happens. Like how you'd almost think it'd go the other way for football purposes, because that's what he's going to school for.
But he got that offer, he's made that commitment to OU.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
So they're just like, kids, now he's...
You just think
is he chasing a basketball title? I mean, he could very well do that at Millwood, but maybe he just has friends he wants to play with.
Maybe so. I don't know. This is crazy.
Maybe the high school NIL is a thing.
Well, it's not like he's a senior.
No.
That's the whole thing. He's just a junior. So if he was a senior, I get it. Okay, yeah, he's played football now. He's going to Douglas. But he's still got to play football next fall. Yeah, okay, Steven Alexander is his AAU coach. Who is the head coach at Douglas? I get the basketball part. The basketball part of it is simple to me. Mm-hmm. It's the next fall that doesn't make any sense on the surface. Yeah, I totally get why he'd do that. Well, why would he? He's
but,
a
but he
football
has another
recruit.
Year to play, so
yeah. Why would he leave a state title contending program at Millwood to go play for a terrible program right now in Douglas? Or maybe he's going to go back.
There's always that, but maybe I'm kind of leaning on thinking, I've got my future set. I've committed to OU. Nothing's going to go against that if I go to a team that plays worse football.
I'm telling you what. He's going to go back. This is going to be the amazing test case for this new rule.
Just going to go.
Because here's the thing. He'll get that starting July 1st when that new rule comes into effect. Like, he's doing this before the rule.
He's transferred over, and then when the new rule, he'll have a free transfer, so he can
go back. I think that's right. He's doing it before, so he's transferring before he gets his free transfer. See, this is ingenious. And then, I would guess, he's not going to play basketball next year. He's going to enroll mid-year.
To Norman.
To Norman.
Mm-hmm.
For football.
Graduate early and
go
practice in the bowl practices.
Wow. This is amazing. If that's really what happens, this is unbelievably amazing. I'm glad you saw that. I had no idea.
Well, but back to my point, though, it changes a lot of – I can't wait to see how this shakes up 4A boys basketball, you know, with Weatherford losing yesterday and – what happens? You know, I always thought Weatherford was the number one team, even before the season started and those rankings came out, and there they were. I think a lot of opinions will change now. Oh, Douglas got better.
You'd certainly think so.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
North Rock Creek. They're number two right now. I'll get to see them. They'll be at Washington. Third week of January, like us. Yeah, this Jeremy's. I mean, yeah, Millwood's won back-to-back basketball state championships.
Yeah, he's done enough. Yeah, but wanted to go play with his coach.
Yeah, and then come back to Millwood. This is wild. I can't wait. I cannot wait for hurry up. It's fast forward to August. I want to see where he's at. All right, tonight I know where everybody be at. In front of their TVs, watching Paragon TV, the Merritt Oilerettes down at the Bertha Frank Teague Classic in Ada. 8 o'clock against the Being Lady Pirates. The field is loaded, as always, for this tournament. It's one of the most prestigious basketball tournaments in the state of Oklahoma, obviously, with the accomplishments of one Bertha Frank Teague and her coaching career.
If you don't know her history, look it up. We don't have enough time to talk about it, but it's pretty amazing.
And I think that's a big reason why, you know, people want – teams and coaches, they want to go – to kind of celebrate that, right? I mean, it's a big deal to a lot of people to be able to be invited to this tournament specifically. Mm-hmm. And a tournament of champions is what it is, because that means, you know, something really good happened the year before. But as far as the prestige, I think a lot of people would just as soon win this one as anything. And that's why you get loaded fields. And it's always cool to me when you get fields that – kind of celebrate all different sizes of schools, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's always the neat thing, because you
don't get this matchup.
It's that Hoosiers mentality to see, you know, Class A versus Class 4A or what have you, or even bigger, and that's what you get in some of these tournaments. In the Bertha Frank Teague is certainly that. Merritt going against a 4A team tonight and being a win, and all of a sudden you're either playing Carl Albert. you know, as we've said, for, you know, 5A and 6A haven't ranked anybody yet, but they're a fantastic team year after year after year. Or Bethel, a top, I think they're number 7 in 3A. And then on the other side, you've got number 1 in 3A with Washington, Kingfisher, McAllister. It's just a cool mix of teams, and the neat thing about it is, if you're Merritt, you don't just get invited because you know somebody. You get invited because you've had success, and that's certainly what the Oilerettes have done over the last handful of years.
100%. And that's I was telling Gabe yesterday, he was asking, how do a team get invited to this? And there are teams like at the Tournament of Champions, they invite teams that traditionally have either won a state title or went to state the previous year or were runner-up. When you look it up and down that bracket, there's a lot of gold and silver. And this one, it's their anticipation. Because you look at this tournament, if you do good in this tournament, it bodes very well on the rest of your season. I've seen two teams go down there and make the state tournament. One of them win state, the other one come up with silver. So that's the anticipation. So, yeah, so getting invited to this tournament, they're telling you, Merritt, that they expect, hey, last year was great, but this year could be even better for this Merritt Oilerette team. And so if you can go down there and go 2-1, you know, in any route, you've done pretty dang good for yourself. You go down there and almost, in some cases, depending on what the seeding is like, and I'm not suggesting this is going to happen to Merritt, but if you just get one win, that's pretty good because you had to beat a team that also has great aspirations for their seasons going forward. So it's a very fun. It's very fun. Every matchup's going to be really, really good no matter what route it goes. No matter how if you're playing on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night, it's going to be a good game. I can't wait for this tournament. It's always entertaining every year.
Yeah, think about the teams from a year ago. In one side of this bracket, you had Caddo, who, if I remember right, won last year's Bertha Frank Teague Classic. They played in the finals.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for them, that meant they got to play Sealing. Tuttle. That was a 4A semifinalist and lost to the eventual champion in Bethany. Pittsburgh. They were the defending Class B state champions. They lost in the semifinals last year.
They were there. Yeah.
And then Carl Albert, which that kind of goes off of our radar, right? They were 22-6 a year ago, and they lost in the semifinals of 5A. That was just half the bracket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Georgetown, Texas, which I don't really remember any times, because you were there twice, right, with Hammond in 2018 en route to a state title, and then Canute in 2020, who was beaten by Hydro in the finals.
Right.
Do you remember
not a team from out of state.
Yeah. So
I'm trying to think of the field. There's like Kingston was there. One of the Christian academies was there.
Yeah, like Christian Heritage or something like
that. Yeah. In-state teams.
Okay, so Carl Albert was a semifinalist. Caddo was the runner-up. Tuttle was a semifinalist. Pittsburgh was a semifinalist. Bethel, this is last year's field, just to give Merritt fans an idea of, you know, what happened. Bethel, Class 3A, semifinalist. Let's see here. I'm going to guess they were 4A. Then you have Ada, which that's the, you know, they're close. They were an area tournament team. Whatever Georgetown, Texas did in Texas. I mean, that's an incredible field, right?
Absolutely.
So this is good stuff. Good stuff coming for the Merritt Oilerettes. I can't wait to see how they perform. You know, this is a team that state tournament 2 years ago. Everything kind of fell apart in the area tournament last year when it looked like they were definitely en route to another state tournament appearance, right? It just didn't happen. Everything just kind of went the wrong way at the wrong time of that season. But I think this is it's a pretty cool showcase for the Oilerettes.
Yeah, that's tonight should be fun. It's virtually a home game for Bing. And if they can get past them, and then you never know what could happen. And hopefully, I think they will. I think they can get a win tonight and then match up with, help me.
Carl Albert.
Yeah, you want those matchups. Mm-hmm. You want to be in this tournament. You want those non-traditional matchups and test yourself. And, again, no shame in taking a loss at any point in this tournament. But this will make you better. This will make them better.
Well, and I think for practical purposes down the road, what else it does is it gets the Oilerettes seen by a lot more people. And by that, I mean 2A coaches.
Correct.
And you have a good showing in this. You know, like you said, go 2-1 in this tournament, beating the teams that you're going to get to have a chance to beat. That can only help. You know, last year it seemed like forever, but they just won so many games in a row that they couldn't be ignored, right? And they end up, what, 2 or 3 by the time the playoffs were set? The year before that, though, they never could kind of bust through that into the top 8 or right at number 8. This year, I think, with this tournament and the opportunity in front of them, this can really help them. Probably, I mean, Dale is, you know, the defending champ, what have you, and that's going to be, you know, every year they're good. But this gives you a chance to even, you know, not only top 8, but even up into the top 8 that might be a little helpful once the playoff brackets are drawn up.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Really, really cool. A little college football talk now, reliving last night's Oklahoma State win, 31-23 in the Texas Bowl over the Texas A&M Aggies. What a workmanlike performance. I mean, they were never really in danger of losing that game. Ollie Gordon, a good capper to a fantastic sophomore year, 118 yards, a touchdown. He ends up with 17-15. Ish, a little, maybe just a tick. I think he was 16-14, so 17-32. Scored 21 touchdowns. He talked after the game about, you know, he was never really never considering leaving. He was always going to be, because he's comfortable and he likes where he's at. And Oklahoma State's going to have a pretty darn good team coming back next year as well, in the first year of the new Big 12. But it got, you know, this morning I'm driving in. And what's the talk surrounding that game last night? It's Mike Gundy's eyes and that picture and how red, and was he high or what? You know what? But it's just like, I get it. It wasn't one of the major bowls. It wasn't a playoff game or what have you. But it just got it made my mind shift to, what is the feeling for Oklahoma State fans moving forward with Mike Gundy? And is he appreciated to the level that his accomplishments deserve? So think about this. Currently, and I don't know if last night's game is counted into this, but it's not enough to make a giant difference. Oklahoma State wins in college football in their history 52.6% of the time in total.
In the history of
OSU football. They win 52.6% of their games. You want to take a guess? If you take Gundy's career totals out of that, you want to venture a guess at what that winning percentage is?
Below 50.
48.9. 473 wins, 493 losses. So quite literally, Mike Gundy has made Oklahoma State a winning college football program. He's 165-79. Like I said, I don't know if last night's counted in there. Maybe 166-79. That's 67.6%. So he has won at such a clip that he has been able, since he's taken that job 19 years ago, elevated Oklahoma State from a losing program to a winning program. Let's keep going. His first season in 2005, they went 4-7. Since then, he has reeled off 18 straight winning seasons. You got any idea what the longest winning season streak was before Mike Gundy?
At OSU?
At OSU.
Less than 10. Like 5.
6.
6.
6. In the 80s. Which, oh, by the way, about 3 of those he was the quarterback for.
Yeah, and he had a pretty good running back, too.
Yeah, but, you know, see, you think about Mike Gundy's, like, the positive force that he's been on OSU football is obviously not, no one can compare to it. Last night was his 8th 10-win season. 8. So 8 out of 19. He has won 10 games. His teams have won 10 games. You know how many other 10 game winning seasons there have been? All time?
15. Still feels way too high, doesn't it?
15.
All time?
In
the over 100 of years?
Not counting Gundy.
Not counting Gundy?
Not counting Gundy's 8.
All time? Let's go with, I don't know, 10?
3.
Wow.
3. So he's reeled off 18 straight winning seasons, which is triple the longest streak outside of him. And he played in about 3 of those years. You know, so.
Yeah.
And then he has won more than double 10-game seasons than anybody ever. You combine them all. That's fascinating to me. How successful that he has been, and yet it feels like maybe not the majority of the OSU fan base, but there's certainly a faction of it. It is almost can't wait to get rid of him.
Well, yeah, not the majority, but there's the loudest. And that's how it works, right? It's not the majority that are the loudest, but yeah, you hear the loudest fan base. The minority of them, they're yelling because they think getting rid of him will get them over that hump to the big game, to the national title game, to the playoffs. And to that I say, be careful what you wish for.
It's a really interesting conversation, right? Because has he built Oklahoma State to a totally different level than they've ever been, which then in turn means they can hire somebody above the level they ever could have, and then maybe they're right.
Did he make the job so attractive that they can get somebody quote-unquote better than Gundy? Is that what you're saying?
Or he's got this thing built on such a firm, higher foundation than it's ever been, that it's easier to reach a little bit higher from where somebody's going to start, whoever follows Mike Gundy.
Right.
Or have these stats that I've just laid out show more of he's the only one that can do this?
Yeah. That's why I say be careful what you wish for, because if you run him out of town or you force him to retire or whatever the case may be, and you get someone to come and go, okay, this is a great job. This has been elevated. This is a good place. You can win here, even with 3-star guys and da-da-da, and then they start running off 5-win, 4-win, 6-win seasons. Well, that's less than the standard that what Gundy had established. It's interesting.
Yeah, and here's the deal. When you look at those 18.
I almost want to see him not coach to see what that answer is. Not because I don't want Gundy to coach. You know what I mean? Just like, okay, just from a outsider's point of view, like, okay, what happens now? What happens now? He's not there. What's going to happen to this program?
Well, here's the wild thing. In those 18 years, it's not like he's going 7-6 every year. There's like 3 or 4 of those.
Yeah.
The rest are 8, 9, 10, 11. You know, way above winning. Obviously, 67.6%. And that's with the 4-7 stuck in there in this first year when he was basically cleaning house.
Getting his guys, getting his vision in there, yeah.
Okay, 2 things on the text line. 1, how much credit does Les Miles get in this to kind of start it?
Yeah. He had it going for then the time he was here, and it did elevate him enough to get lured away by LSU. They got other people's attention. But that's the thing, though. I mean, that's the difference between someone like Gundy, who's the homegrown kid who played there. He's not leaving. He's not taking a better job, quote-unquote better job, whatever you call it. And that's the risk of if on the text
that's
line.
That's it. That's
said,
the next
if
one.
If you get someone else, an outsider, per se, does a good job, continues it, what they're doing, then let's say USC calls, you know, or LSU.
It's a fascinating discussion.
Yeah. And that's going to be the thing. When Gundy, and I agree on the text line, he said he will retire there. I agree with that. They're not going to fire him. But when he retires, how do they go about making that next hire? Internally, do they find someone who the same route? Like, okay, we got to find a guy who played here, who's, you know, so watch, I guess, really watch.
Like Zach Robinson.
Yeah, but really watch, you know, what if one day it's announced. Let's just use him as an example. It's announced in the offseason. Zach Robinson hired as a quarterback coach for OSU. Gundy hired Zach Robinson. Keep note of that, because that might be a thing where, like, all right, he might be grooming him to become his successor.
Yeah, looking back.
And I don't know the OSU coaching staff. I don't know who's on. I'm sure there's a lot of alums. But
I can tell you right now, nobody in the world wants Casey Dunn to be the head coach. They barely want him to be the coordinator, and I'm not sure if that's true. But, like, looking back, your point is well taken, because at the time, no one really thought like this. But in hindsight, it was almost obvious that Bob knew what he was doing. None of us realized it.
Going
away from Heupel. I don't think he ever wanted to do that. I really think in Bob's heart of hearts, he thought he was grooming Josh Heupel to be the next head coach at Oklahoma. It just didn't work out. And so then when it didn't work out, okay, who's next? And then that's where Lincoln Riley comes about.
I can remember even way back, Heupel on the national title run, I remember thinking – or saying it, so that dude's going to be a coach. That dude,
coach on the field. I mean, you
always
heard that.
He always heard that, because he would do that.
Because his dad was a coach and all that.
This is
so interesting, because, you know, that route hasn't won the big one. Go outside the program. I'm dead serious about this. I've always kind of been a go outside guy, because I just think it is so hard to follow in the footsteps of legendary coaches. If you go back through the history, it's hard to be. What you want to be is the guy after the guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, of course.
You want to be the guy that follows the guy that follows the guy. But I also think that Oklahoma State is one of those unique places that it kind of takes, I guess, Miles wasn't. But, I mean, when you look at Gundy's success and his history and how much more successful Mike Gundy's tenure has been than Oklahoma State's football history, it bodes toward the needing a homegrown type guy.
Mm, yeah. The problem is, anybody would want to coach their alma mater. You know, anybody – Latrell even made comments to that saying, I've always wanted to come back here and be here in some form or fashion, be a coach. The problem is, and it's worked out for Gundy, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I think out of all this, what we're saying is he is the reason OSU is relevant and good. He is 100% the big reason. But getting a guy, like, if you want to get a homegrown guy, because you think, okay, we won't lose him to an LSU or a USC or some other blue blood for a quote-unquote higher, bigger program. But, man, I would be, for the university I went to and loved, I would be a little apprehensive going back, because, man, wouldn't it suck to get fired by that university that you love? What if it doesn't work out? And then, I'm sure it broke Bob's heart to tell Josh you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were kind of talking about this last night. Jeff Brohm in Louisville came back to Louisville, and they were talking about, well, there's a little pressure here. He has to win here. He doesn't want to have to get fired by this. And he's winning.
But he's already been there once.
Yeah.
He's already won there.
Yeah.
Then he left, and then he came back to win again. You know, that I think there are certain places where it makes more sense than others, or it's more of a necessity than others. Mm-hmm. And this is not a shot, a knock, or anything, but it's amazing to me how outside of Mike Gundy, there is this love. I mean, you know, there's a difference in the way, at least the people that I know, there's a difference in the way that Oklahoma State alums view Oklahoma State versus any other college that I know that anybody else went to. Like, there's a love for that school that's even deeper than for some football team. You know what I'm saying? I'm dead serious about that. Oklahoma State, the school, is where the love goes to, and it just so happens that there's sports teams there. But it's more about the college itself and the time that everyone that went there spent. Mm-hmm. You know, is the draw. It's not football. It's not basketball. It's not softball. It's the school itself. And that's where I think having a guy that understands that and the culture that then builds makes it – it doesn't have to be. But, man, it sure seems like it's helped him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It does. I'm fascinated by that. I mean, he's only, what, 56, 57, 58, something like that? So, I mean, we could have this conversation for another decade. But who's going to be next? You know what I mean? That doesn't really show any signs of slowing down.
No. No.
You know, I mean,
we always try to look for clues. You know, what's next? And ultimately, it's going to be Gundy's decision on when he calls it quits, you know. And it's always going to be shocking. Like, when Stoops retired, it was shocking. No one saw it coming. But I wonder if – I'm not suggesting he's going to announce retirement in the offseason. I'm not suggesting that. What I'm saying is – and I'm sure he told his son, get in the portal. You're getting the portal. Now, was that because he said – because – I'm going to retire before your college career is up.
No, you're not going to play here.
I don't want to have to bench you every time.
Yeah, you're not going to play here. Move on. Enjoy your time. You got a couple snaps. It's best for both of us. You can go play somewhere, and here is not it. I don't think that's anything. It would be shocking to me with everything that's going on. And a lot of positives, I think, for OSU football in that, you look around in the new Big 12, there isn't anyone that sticks out head and shoulders above them. If you take the Mike Gundy era for the last 19 years, are there teams that are maybe on par? Sure. Utah screams Utah. And how it's amazing how similar they really kind of are, mm-hmm, in a lot of ways. But for me, I think you've got a guy that has got obviously the program's on solid footing, a really good team coming back next year in a new Big 12 that he's got to be one of the top 2-3 programs in. And I think in a lot of ways he wants to experience Oklahoma State football without having to always worry about Oklahoma. That's not even a thought now. Who cares?
Yeah.
What they're doing has zero impact on what we're doing. As far as in-season results and that kind of, it doesn't matter. We're completely separate of them. And I think that's got to be intriguing to now be able to start. Say he reels off 2 or 3 Big 12 titles in the next 5 years, which is going to lead to playoff appearances for the first time in school history. I wonder if, just in his own mind, if there is that, okay, watch this. now I can start being appreciated the way I ought to be appreciated because that's out of my way. And now Oklahoma State can be more on the national stage by itself, you know, without Oklahoma and Texas being either in the way or, you know, being talked about too. Where I think that's got to be intriguing to him for the next handful of years at least, just to see. Because there's every opportunity in my mind for Oklahoma State to kind of take this new Big 12 and lead it.
And that
on the football
and
field.
And that overall for the Big 12 is going to be fun to watch next year because there are a lot of teams in that same boat.
Sure there are.
You know, like Kansas State, Iowa State, Utah, Arizona. I mean, there's a lot that are going to come into this conference next year think, nah, we're the favorites. We're the favorites. We're the favorites because there's no – well, there's no OU in Texas there to fill one of those spots that considered the favorite or top two. So that's going to be – fun to watch on the field because they're going to go in with a lot of confidence, which usually, you know, that breeds a really good football on both sides. You're going to have some, I think we'll have some fun games in the Big 12.
Oh, I do too.
Because a lot of teams think we're next up. We're it. They're gone. Now it's our turn. It's our turn to shine. And then other teams are, no, actually it's us. We're coming into this conference. We're Utah. We beat USC every year. We're going to come in here and dominate this conference.
Man, there's like six or seven teams that right now, if you think about, okay, who would I pick to win the Big 12?
Yeah.
There's like six or seven or eight where you could make a pretty decent case
Kansas.
For.
I forgot to mention Kansas.
TCU. They played for the title last year.
Yes.
It's crazy.
It is nuts.
Wrapping up Thursday. Stay with the college football. What's a good night for Jackson Arnold tonight?
Well, win or lose, what's a good night?
I'm talking about just him.
Just him. Just consistent, I guess. Just don't, you know what, the bed. We've seen, you know, flashes of really good football from him. He throws a good ball. Just make good decisions, protect the football, and see what happens. I mean, this is going to be his first game. There's going to be jitters. But I just want to see him. I guess I would say just protect the football, make good decisions. Let's say anywhere in the realm of, let's go 175 and two touchdowns. And, you know, and he's going to get some on the ground too. He can run it. So something like that. How about you?
Oh, if he throws for 175 yards, people are going to be screaming from the mountaintops for Dylan Capriel.
Yeah, well.
Look better than he did against BYU. How about that?
When he was thrust in there in that second half.
Put in there.
Yeah.
Played the second half and quite frankly struggled. Missing some easy throws that, first off, you have to make if you're going to be any good, but you'd be expected to make even coming off the bench the way he was. There were just some of those.
And I, you know, I'll give him. I mean, I'll defend him here. I mean, the weather was horrible. The ground was horrible, whatever. But and then thrust in there. You know, he didn't think. He stepped off the bus thinking, well, I get to hold a clipboard the rest of the day. But you always got to be ready. You never know when that your time, your number's called. So, like, I agree with that, too. You got to be better than that. But maybe now with a full, almost full month to prepare for this, told, you know, thankfully Gabriel didn't pull what Milton did at Tennessee and last minute go into the portal and they're scrambling.
He went to the draft.
Draft, excuse me. And but
maybe the first undrafted free agent quarterback in the history of college football to not play in the bowl game.
Yeah.
We've got undrafted dudes opting out now. Incredible.
Yeah. Somebody gave him a bad grade or lied to him about his grade. But point is he's had a full month to prepare for this knowing he's the guy. He is the guy and they've almost a full month with Latrell and the new offense or new-ish offense. So we'll see. We'll see. It's funny because Arizona by Vegas saying they're favored right now is like a point and a half. It's almost just a pick 'em. But then you do that percentage. Do you see that on ESPN? That's like OU 75% chance
to
win.
Yeah, it's before people opted out.
Why is that? Oh, it's before?
Yeah, it's for the portal.
Why don't they adjust that?
What were we seeing the other day? Oh, it's A&M last night's game.
Yeah.
A&M was like 73% by the, but they ran it when it was announced. You know what I'm saying? Instead of game time. Will Latrell call plays tonight? Absolutely, right? I mean, who else would do it?
not Finley.
Yeah, I mean, I think it absolutely he will.
No, he called the plays at North Texas, right? Wasn't he totally in charge of that?
Well, I mean, he's going to call the plays. Yeah.
I think how that dynamic works is they game plan during the week, and he has the call during the game.
Oh, Dakota. What if he has a performance similar to Trevor Knight in the Sugar Bowl against Alabama? Oh, my, can you imagine the hype train?
Oh, it would be similar.
Whatever you do, keep Katy Perry out of Norman when Tennessee rolls in. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Poor Trevor Knight, derailed by Katy Perry from Oxford, Mississippi. What a sad day that was.
Uh-huh.
Probably a happy day, you know. Listen, we're seeing it in the NFL with Dakota's Chiefs. Taylor Ono is ruining the Kansas City Chiefs season, just like Katy Perry ruined the 2014 Sooners season. You know who ought to really be mad at Katy Perry?
Who's that?
Josh Heupel. Or he probably should have been mad then. That was his final season. And he got a Katy Perry ruined Trevor Knight. He's probably not too unhappy with her now, being the head coach at Tennessee. But back then, he should have been upset. That's the one thing that I guess I would caution both ways. I mean, if he looks terrible and Oklahoma's offense can't get a first down, I don't know that that spells doom for next year. In the same token, if he goes out and completes like 75% for 350 and four touchdowns.
It's hard to answer that
question. Let's not give him the Heisman.
It's hard. It's one game. It's hard to get excited about these bowl games because of opt-outs and all that stuff.
I just don't
that's where our – like the question yesterday, what's the level of interest? That's what I'm interested in is Jackson Arnold.
I don't think it really matters. Stats-wise, isn't what I'm most excited to see. I just want to see how he handles it.
Yeah.
How does he handle running the team? How does the team respond to him? I mean, if you listen to him, it's like he's the second coming of Joe Montana. If you listen to, you know, what he does in practice and all that kind of stuff from his peers.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk
around
him. Yeah.
So we'll see. But I think it's one of those things that it's hard to explain what you're wanting to see, but you'll know it when you see it.
Yeah.
It's more of an intangible look, and it's more of how he's handling himself. He's more of how the team is responding to him, as opposed to he went 20 of 25 for 350. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I do think it would be interesting to see a deep ball be overthrown, because there's actually that possibility now that there hasn't been for the last 2 years. We saw it at BYU, as a matter of fact. So that'll be maybe more Brennan Thompson. Maybe we actually get to see Brennan Thompson play. Because I don't know if you can overthrow that guy.
That's true.
I don't know. It's going to be an interesting look.
Overall, another reason you like bowl games. I haven't given you any reason to like bowl games, but I'm more pessimistic about him nowadays, but I want to see get excited about it. Not only just him, right? We're already excited about him.
No, I'm ready for. I want to see PJ Adibaware out there the whole time.
That's
I want to see
saying.
Peyton Bowen out there the whole time.
I want to see. Go. I can get excited about you next year. I want to see. Oh, you did a play. Oh, I can't wait to see that in Norman next year. You know that stuff.
Those guys. Those three guys are the three that were the gems of the recruiting class from a year ago. And they're the guys that everybody – you saw flashes of Peyton Bowen. You saw flashes of PJ. Very little of Jackson Arnold. But the one time he was called upon to win a game, he did, even if he wasn't spectacular doing it. But, yeah, that's the part that gets you excited. Whether or not it matters for next fall or not, nobody cares tonight at least, because it tied you into spring ball. Then the spring game tied you into – next fall and camp and, you know, obviously then season starts. And then, you know, I think the bowl game, especially these ones, the ones that aren't the New Year's Six or aren't the playoff, it's almost like an early spring game. The only difference is you're playing somebody else. instead of just scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what you're going to – with the opt-outs, with the transfer portal, with the draft, the guys that you were excited about in the fall that their time never came to fruition as youngsters, now you might get a chance to see more of. You know, you've got that spectrum, which is where OU's at, and then on the opposite end, it's kind of where OSU was last night. It's the same dudes that played, and it's going to be the same dudes that play next year, and this is cool. Mm-hmm. You know, there's both. There's reason to get excited for both of those. One actually has some standing because they've done things. The other is just potential, that P word, that gets people excited and losing their minds and, quite frankly, causes people to get mad because the potential doesn't get realized.
Oh, yeah. And what I hate about bowl games is they're kind of – it's a shallow feeling to win them nowadays. It's like, okay.
By the way.
You won that one against who, you know?
By the way, this isn't just because I hate mayonnaise.
Oh, that's
– But don't they have this backwards?
Why?
Shouldn't Mac Brown had to get the mayonnaise poured on his head?
Because he lost.
Because he lost? Don't we have this backwards?
Yeah, I don't see any.
Why is the Duke mayonnaise going on top of Neil Brown's head?
That doesn't.
He won.
That doesn't seem fun for me.
Good gosh, no! When they showed, you know, coming back from a break, and they showed like the history of it and watch it, I was about to throw up.
Oh, it's the
just
pictures.
Thinking about how awful and disgusting that would be.
Yeah, I scroll by the pictures. It's gross. Like even some still shots of it. It's just the thought of being doused in mayonnaise. Is disgusting. I like mayonnaise, but I'm not enough to get dumped on me. No, thank you. Coolest trophy in bowl season has to be the Pop-Tart Bowl trophy. Have you seen that one?
Yes, I have. It's got two slots for Pop-Tarts.
Does it work? I want to know if it actually works. Can they plug it in and toast Pop-Tarts in that bad boy?
So, isn't that the Cheez-Its Bowl from last year? They renamed it?
Yeah.
So, is you know, last year the big rage, because Oklahoma was there, was...
Getting dumped with...
No, getting to stay in the room.
Oh, that's right.
Wasn't it Turk, the punter that got to stay in the Cheez-It room?
I think so.
Is there a Pop-Tart room?
I don't know.
As much as I love Cheez-Its, I think I'd rather stay in the Pop-Tart room.
Oh, yeah,
than the Cheez-Its room.
I love Pop-Tarts, yeah.
And I do like Cheez-Its, but I do like Pop-Tarts. I don't eat Pop-Tarts.
I heard the name change, like, this is stupid, but then I saw the trophy.
Yeah, the trophy's sweet.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, can you just... Pop a couple of tarts in.
I certainly hope you can just plug it in and toast some Pop-Tarts in that trophy. That'd be pretty cool.
Best Pop-Tart.
S'mores. S'mores.
Frosted strawberry. Everybody have a wonderful Thursday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
Hey!